everyone, and welcome to Was That in Good Taste Presents Behind the Bar. I'm one of your hosts, and my name is going to be Chandler Phillips. And with me, as always, is another one of your hosts, and his name is going to be...
James Beery.
And we got a really fun, really exciting episode with some neat cocktails and some even neater spirits. But before we get into it, remember to like, comment, and subscribe.
Call to action.
And keep in touch and follow us for other stuff that's going to be related to alcohol, booze, and some maybe topics about interesting things.
I love that. Don't forget to grab your phone to follow along because we're going to be learning together.
It's going to be like a seeing, like a sitting spell kind
just,
of deal.
Just realize you're going to see me looking at my phone quite a lot.
You got phone notes. Ain't nothing wrong
so
with phone
notes.
So
what we got going on today?
So... You had asked me earlier this month if I see at all some Hennessy White on a handful of different occasions to buy it. And I found it at a liquor store for the low, low price of $80. And I was like, I think that's going to be as low as we can find it, because in every other spot that I checked, it was wandering around $89 to $100. And then I looked online, and I thought, I saw, wow, this is almost a $300 bottle of alcohol in some instances. And why is that? Because you were like, oh, this is so neat. It's wow. Never in the U.S. If you see it, get it.
As you can see.
What's the big fucking
from
deal?
From this empty bottle, right? What we have here, right, is a cognac made by the Hennessy Company, right? Mm-hmm. For a lot of my life, I thought it was illegal. Turns out it's just one of those things that's not distributed in the United States of America. What? So it's just a light cognac from them that's like $40-$50. That's hard to get here. So there's like a whole kind of black market of people bringing it here. And my boss, my ex-boss, was going on vacation to the islands. And I said, hey. Can you bring me back a bottle? It'll be really fun for us to do. As bosses do, gets fired.
Damn.
But he hits me up and he says, James, there's a limited edition bottling. Because he thought about me, uh-huh. Actually. He felt bad that he didn't get it. So he looked it up and he discovered that they have a 25th edition limited bottling in the U.S. of... the Hennessy White.
Quick fun fact. According to this source that I have immediately pulled onto my phone, the Hennessy Vineyard was started in 1765. Now, ain't that just some interesting stuff? And the Cognac region is only about 5 miles across at its at its largest. It's not a big region. And all of the cognac and all of what we know comes from that region.
What's 5 miles?
5 miles?
Give me something.
So it's 5 miles.
Is Manhattan like 5 miles across?
It'd be like from here to like, yeah, to like the Lower East Side.
Right? Yeah.
We'd have to walk across the bridge.
5 miles is small.
5 miles is not big.
Five at miles. All. How many kilometers?
Oh, at least a handful.
We don't do that here in America.
We don't talk about the kilos. But so there's a couple different delineations of the types of of stuff that you'll see on cognac. There's the ones that are like about the aging of it. Whereas,
so that's like the VSing,
yeah,
the VSOP, which is in the
that's very superior old pale,
yeah. Which because from credit VS is like the youngest, right?
Yeah,
it's like 2 years
that is minimum. Correct.
Then yeah. I think that VSOP is 4 years minimum.
Oh, hit the dang!
Ah! Wait, I was doing something and. Go me. Right. And by the way, I'm not even fucking around. I didn't even pre-remember that. I didn't even see that shit when I was looking it up earlier. It just seems like it makes sense, right? Because, you know, I've noticed the pricing of cognac.
What's the last one?
Doesn't it say like very fine on it or something? Is it like?
I'll give you the.
Is it VV? Is it V?
It's XO.
Oh yeah, it's XO. Yeah, it's like Hennessy XO
for extra old.
Yeah, is it really?
How old is it?
How old is extra old? I think extra old is 6 years.
Ooh, undang. It's 10 years.
Damn, you know what? I got because I feel like they're not aging a lot, but oh, I guess.
I mean, 10 years. 10 years is a good age.
10 years is a good age.
Like you think about for bourbons, like if we're using bourbons as the standard of barrel aging, the 10-year bourbon is a pretty fucking.
That is true.
Pretty good bourbon.
If this has been aged for 10 years, is that how this looks like this? Oh, I don't actually see an age statement on it. I don't see a VS or a VSOP or an XO on this.
So all that we really know about this is that it's just a premium select from the blender of Hennessy. We do know that it's made from, what was it? Finbois.
That's the variety of grape.
It's the region. And so it's the variety of vine. Because they're all
going to
be. I
know nothing about it, obviously.
They're all going to be white wine, white grapes. That is made from. It's kind of wild. It's like.
Is that the only reason why this is.
It's so specific.
This is like a white wine cognac product.
Yeah.
Right? So is the other product a red wine cognac or a different brand? Because, oh, I'm dumb. Because it's just fruit. It's just fruit. It could be anything. Right?
No, it's still. If it's cognac, it's still.
It's still wine.
It's still wine.
But it would be like a fruit wine.
No, but it has to be like the cognac region, and the cognac region only specializes in cognac grapes.
But how? So it would only be grapes?
Yeah.
So it would either be, so that means cognac is either red grapes or white grapes?
No, it's just going to be white grapes.
So how is there dark cognac and how is there light cognac?
Because it probably has to do with the proportion of the youth of the bottle or of the blends. And
but in order for this to be cognac, it has to be a minimum of 2 years. See, now you're wondering to yourself, wow, they don't know, because it's not anywhere, it's not online, okay? I don't have any credentials.
Yeah, they're really playing their cards close to their chest on this one.
My tentative 5-minute Googling session, my binging, my 2-minute binging, just didn't.
It didn't pull up.
Pull up quite a ton of a wealth of information here, but the bottle, as it says in these small, I feel like this is a new thing. It's like watch James read something really small.
That's a fun reoccurring bit. It's like watch. All right, what do we got here? Okay.
Those that have explored the Caribbean seeking out Henny White, those that have hauled packed suitcases, they know. That's also another whole thing. The limited exclusivity of this is like fucking bullshit. It just bolsters like the production of this thing.
They're just like, oh, look at we've withheld something from you. Now come crawling back to us. Give us more.
Come give it to me. Give it to me.
What is it? Hennessy Pure White. Which I don't know why they got to add the pure part. Like,
I mean,
it feels a little weird.
I mean, if it's not pure, it's not white.
Okay.
I'm talking about the fucking cognac.
Oh, not cocaine?
No.
Okay. No. Feel like of the different directions we could have gone with that, cocaine was probably the funnest.
I'm about to pull a Cheryl. Don't we got to pull it together before I start saying before we don't air this. Don't make me do it, Chandler. Don't make me do it.
I'm not gonna make you say anything. I will tempt you though. I will be the temptation that inevitably gets you kicked from the Garden of Eden. I am the serpent in the grass. Mm. The Hennessy Pure White originated from four crews with dominance from the fine boys. That's the Finbois, which means fine boys. From which it gets the lightest of aroma and flavor. The eau de vie, used in the blend of floral.
The eau de vie.
Eau de vie.
I wasn't going to do my French accent. I don't want to do a microaggression against the French.
If I pronounced it wrong, then Google's pronunciation-alyzer is the one who messed up. So this is, I'm just going by how I was taught.
So it's eau de vie, which is just any clear spirit?
It's a distillate. Yeah, it's
the clear distillate of the wine.
It's from the fact that all the Latin languages just call anything that's got alcohol in it water of life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it makes you feel good.
It makes you feel good and it disinfects your mouth. That's pretty neat, especially if you're living in a time with not a lot of oral medicine.
Like, first of all, that's not true. They had water picks. They didn't have time to use them.
Ain't that just the timeless trope? You have a water pick. It's sitting right there. You just never have the time to use it. Swish your mouth with distillate.
Then the one time you try to use it, there's still a little bit of warm water from the last time.
Because
you didn't purge it. It's like bacteria water.
That's gross.
That's gross. And next.
That's why I don't brush my teeth at all. It's just because, you're going to put the toothbrush back in your mouth? Gross.
That explains the sour odor we've been emanating from you for the last few months.
Yeah, I have like 6 dead teeth. I'm just waiting on them to pop out. So Hennessy gets its regular color because it's a VS, meaning it's very special. And as our big special boy, it gets a whole 2 years. I honestly can't figure it out. I don't know what makes it white. I don't get it, dude.
Well, I mean, I think obviously the color is similar, right? It's not actually white. It's not even actually, you know what? Suck a kick. You know what? What the fuck am I talking about? Look at this. I wish we had Hennessy right now because this shit is not even that much lighter. This is like the fucking Tia Teta Tamara. I'm just saying. It's like, you know, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sisters, you know, right next to each other. And they look the same, you know, maybe one, you know, both equally beautiful, strong, strong cognacs, you know, just one is a little darker.
How do you feel about Remy Martin?
It's been a long time. I hadn't had Remy since I didn't like Hennessy, you know, before I started tasting more cognacs and giving things more of a try. But I think that, like, the price scares me off already.
Yeah.
Because cognac is kind of expensive. So if you got something in there flying in under the radar at, like, $30, I'm kind of scared. How are you $20 cheaper than everything? How are you literally $20 cheaper than all your competition?
I don't know, man. A lot of these places are just kind of grandfathered in. Oh, another fun little tidbit I read about cognacs over here is apparently there's a very thin topsoil layer in the Grand Champagne area. And then as you go out, that's the thing. They're all made with champagne grapes. Bing, bang, boom. They're not cognac grapes, but they're champagne grapes made in the cognac, yada, yada, yada.
Bam, bam, boom.
Bing, bam, boom, it up, bop. Skip it a bop, bop, bow. The top.
Jesus, God, man. Don't get me started.
The top soil layer, very thin. And then immediately under it is a whole lot of chalk and less clay. Not very nutrient rich until you kind of break through that layer as roots. And then you get to the water table. So a lot of the. A lot of the regulation in the most, like, exclusive, finest, most premium area of the the cognac region is the Grand Champagne, and it's because it's so hard to grow things there, and you're only allowed to use groundwater irrigation. You can't like use like top above ground irrigation except in the first year of planting. It's, dude, fucking grapes are so heavily regulated in France. It's ridiculous.
It's like breaking my brain, because isn't that one of the things about New World wines? I'm throwing shit out here. I'm not quite remembering everything. They'll beat me up. In which that, like, the lack of regulation in the way that we do a lot of the grapes in America leads to, like, this real interesting, weird fucking wines, and traditionalists hate that shit.
Traditionalists hate that shit because they stake, like, generations of wealth on traditionalist stuff that they've essentially copyrighted or, like, trademarked. And
but why wouldn't you want to grow a grape that tastes like cotton candy and make wine out of it?
Because it won't taste like cotton candy when you turn it into wine.
But maybe, okay, I take the, why wouldn't you grow a grape that you know will taste like cotton candy when you make it into wine? You know, people would hate that because they're traditionalists. But yeah. Why wouldn't you do that? That sounds cool. Like, do whatever the fuck you want, you know?
Live your life, grow your grapes.
Yeah, grow that shit, you know?
But if you're going to be in the old world vineyards, you gotta have skin in the game. You got to have old money.
But does it improve the quality of the grapes that grow? Here's the thing. I don't know, right? But we've had this conversation, you know?
But so much of it is about, it's preserving. It's all of, you'd think.
It's self-flagellation.
Of course, it's how they make a living.
You know, my history. It's all your fucking history. It's like, oh boy, we do it the hardest, most inconvenient way because of history.
We hand turn the bottles every 6 hours so that the bubbles just go fuck yourself.
Like, literally make a thing that fucking spins or some shit. Like, what are you doing? Actually, the vibrations introduce more. It's like my. You know, listen, they have fucking machines that they throw onions and boom, and a laser sees it and it can tell if it's like fucking rotten. And then if it is, it like fucking shoots an air thing and then it shoots it into another airstream. It like
the what?
Onions, like
onions bouncing
just
through airstream.
Think about the fact that just the simple onion that you can get still, right? People are like, oh, cheap Chinese onions. Those onions go through that process. For $2, you get a big bag of fucking onions, right?
Yeah.
Everything is fucking like that, you know? Everything is, like, deeper and more complicated than you think. But, like, if you could do it with onions, you're telling me you can't do that shit with the grapes? You're telling me you cannot make the same motherfucking grapes, okay, without making some fucking people who, I mean, obviously, if this is good for their economy, whatever.
I was about to say, but, like, on, you know, but people, on the other hand, it's like their whole thing is kind of like an old Williamsburg type deal where they're like, oh, we do everything the most traditional way. And this is how they did it like this in the olden times. And we smashed the grapes with our feet, even though, like, we all have ringworm. It's like that kind of shit. I'm like, all right, it's hokey. It's fun. I get it. I'm a history buff. I like it.
But I think it's damaging in the long run. To like
when that's like how you monopolize industry, it's kind of fucked. People should be able to make,
but also at the same time, like things like cognac wouldn't be able to exist if lines weren't drawn somewhere, right? Because the lines, here's the thing, the lines being drawn allow for these things to exist. I think the lines should only exist to help define things, not to exclude them.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
But are definitions inherently exclusive? Things can mean anything without a
fucking. Listen, okay, be happy that we have things.
Like there are certain rules and regulations so that like people aren't just, you know, putting tobacco spit in your vodka and trying to tell you that it's.
And there are some unwritten rules and things about the way that we drink things,
mm-hmm.
right? The way that we taste them, the way that we prepare them, right?
Yeah. Are you still mad at me for letting Angie crack the seal on this?
What an asshole. That was pretty funny.
Is that what you mean by the unwritten rules? Because I felt kind of bad, but also I was like, I don't know. He's taking a while to drink this.
That's how you know he's not fucking black. Okay.
Like, he's taking
he doesn't know the rules.
I've been wanting to drink this all fucking night, It has taken several hours. He is in a conversation for the past 30 minutes talking about God knows what. Just let's just try it. And, you know, it is what it is. Wait. We are so deep into the episode.
No,
we
didn't.
We didn't even talk about it.
I was just throwing to that.
We didn't even. Oh.
That's what the whole thing, because.
That's what we were leading
up to.
It's all
about being, you know, the ability to allow yourself to be creative. Right?
And go on.
And to take things, you know, that are nice. Okay. I lost my original train of thought, so I'm just bringing it, you know what I'm saying? You know, and so now we have nice things and we can do whatever the fuck we want with it. We can drink up a Coke. There you go. Like, if you paid for it, do whatever the fuck you want.
What's your favorite, like, premium whiskey to drink with a mixer?
That's the thing. When it comes to whiskey, I don't have expensive tastes when it comes to stuff that's mixed with Coke and shit. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm cool with anything. Tequila.
Oh.
If I'm drinking tequila, if I'm having a fucking margarita, I'm having the highest end margarita that fucking exists.
What if you're having three margaritas?
Then here's the problem. I still will do it, but then I'll put the effort in to make them really nice.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, make really nice garnish, like really maybe even have squeezed the lemon lime juice myself, you know.
I was thinking rum for similar reasons. Is because I like a really nice rum, and a bad rum just hits my tummy weird.
I agree. I think that one of the problems I have with a lot of rums is that they don't sit well in my tum-tum, because they just...
A rumpa-tum-tum.
I feel like I have a pretty strong stomach, but something about the flavor, it tastes very plastic. There's almost like a plastic kind of flavor.
That makes sense.
Now, the thing about cognac... is that cognac, I've discovered, is very sweet, which is why I think that let's put aside the way, because we already spoke about this when we did the Hennessy episode.
Yeah.
Let's put aside, like, the weird reasons that Hennessy is, like, advertised towards black people. Hennessy is a sweet, like, liquor. It's pretty sweet, mm-hmm. And I think that allows it to be mixed with a lot of things. And so people like it because it looks premium and it's, like, sweet. Then you got this guy right here. Look at this. Look
at this.
What do you think? What do you think, Chandler? Take a sip and let us know.
Of the spirit or of the cocktail that we were having prior?
Spirit first.
Okay.
Because I start the cocktail.
Okay. Spirit first.
Because I'm going to talk about the cocktail.
I think now, and we don't like to say it, but... Remarkably smooth.
Remarkably smooth.
Remarkably smooth.
Remarkably smooth.
Vaguely notes of, like, Lillet Blanc in there. Like, it does, you do kind of get that, like, that white grape vibe from it.
God, yeah. It's almost like, it's like, not pear, but pear juice, like bright, sweet. Yeah,
like a
crisp.
A pear cranberry or a white cranberry kind of vibe. That's what I'm getting.
And so we took that, and then, well.
Then we took some inspiration from the app Cocktail Flow, and we looked up what their recipe for a Sazerac was, given to us by the Bartender Association, the IBA, also known as the IBA. And according to the IBA Sazerac cocktail recipe, it was 5 parts cognac, 1 part absinthe, couple dashes of
Fachards.
Fachards?
Fachards. Bitters. They're New Orleans bitters.
I thought it started with a P.
It's P.
Is it Fachard?
It's like Fachard.
My last name. Okay. All right. Yeah. Now I should understand this concept a little bit. It's just
making me doubt myself.
Is there an H after it?
No, but I think it's pronounced... Oh, my God. You know what?
Fish odors, vitters.
Pronounce fachards.
That's pronounced facials.
That is not what...
It's spelled P-E-Y-C-H-A-U-D apostrophe S.
Fachard.
I believe that can be correct. I'm not doubting that that's... Now I'm
sorry. Peychaud's bitters.
Peychaud's.
Peychaud's.
Peychaud's
bitters.
Peychaud's bitters.
Whatever. They're like a spice bitter. I believe that they originate in the New Orleans region.
Let me see. This app is so nifty. You can do it. Peychaud bitters is a Tunisian-based bitters.
Tunisian-based bitters.
Similar to Angostura aromatic bitters.
It is very similar to Angostura, of course. You can substitute it inside of your old fashions. It gives it a little bit more of a bright, kind of spicier kind of thing.
But with a predominant anise aroma combined with a mint background.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Huh. How neat is that? So we tried this cocktail, and the absinthe was overwhelming. It was a bit much. And so we kind of took a little shot in the dark and thought, what's another anise-based liqueur that we have on deck that we've been trying to really foist upon our viewers and listeners?
Hoist.
Galliano. It's a Galliano.
And also, I think, so Galliano, walk me through it again. We just did this, but hit me.
Galliano is an anise-based liqueur that features notes of cinnamon, cardamom, and also a very emphasis on vanilla.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's the vanilla.
It's the vanilla.
The vanilla. The vanilla is extremely prominent, and I like it. It's kind of minty, like a vanilla gum.
It's like the Orbit vanilla mint.
Yes.
And with the cognac, it just kind of bolsters it, and it kind of helps cancel out some of the like just whack vibes of the Galliano. I think this is a pretty fun, pretty boozy cocktail.
Absolutely delish.
And another little fun history fun fact. Sazerac is thought of to be one of the original cocktails. As we've talked about before, one of the main cocktail recipes, or the recipes that led to the coining of the phrase cocktail, was what we know today as an old fashioned, but it used the alcohols used in a Sazerac because it's essentially muddled sugar cube, bitters, and a booze. And then we just kind of fancied it up with a little bit of absinthe. And so then a Sazerac kind of transformed into what is an old fashioned. And then a Sazerac kind of was like, oh, now you use either brandy, cognac, or rye whiskey. Because a rye Sazerac, now those are pretty neat.
Because I know that we've done them, I feel like it's time to do a few revisitings. Now that we're doing video and we're learning, we've learned quite a lot. I feel like our palates have also changed significantly.
My palate is changing like the waves on the ocean and the beach.
I'm excited for a few more things we have coming up.
Wow, we got so many things.
The spiciest.
Bloody
Mary.
The bloodiest Mary.
The bloodiest Mary. There it is. My notes, I couldn't remember.
We're teasing that episode because in the promo, the teasing of our hot sauce Bloody Mary.
We're going to do the hot sauce.
We're going to do the hot sauces. But also, there's a lot of different types of spicy, but I think... So you got the hot sauce spicy, and I'm going to be honest, that's one of my least favorite types of spicy. And it's not because I dislike the hot sauce. It's because it has, like, that genre, that family, that inferno of spicy lingers, and it's a scorched earth kind of spicy.
And that's, I think, the key. The key is not going to be to make something that's going to make you so uncomfortable that you're going to hate it. The goal is really to use it to make a not that super spicy, but a little spicier than normal Bloody Mary that still tastes good. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Like, you know, it's like you normally get maybe a little bit of a twinge. Maybe now you get a slight sting, but you don't really want to fucking make the person drinking the drink uncomfortable. You want them to be able to have more than one because you want to sell them more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, obviously...
You don't want them sweating.
Yeah, so it's all about a little bit of balance. Honestly, it'd probably be just a little bit, just so that it has the influence of that.
Did I ever tell you about the time I took a scorpion shot of tequila? Or it had scorpion venom in the shot, and then there was like a little fried scorpion.
Why would you do that? Why would you drink the venom?
Because venom. It gets you fucked up. This was.
Does it really?
No, I don't, it was.
Oh, you see how excited I got? You're like, it's fucked up, and I'm like, wait, what?
Is it? Yeah, the scorpion actually had psilocybin in it.
Yeah.
This that would be dope though if scorpions had that kind of. I don't know, fucking being able to just be psychedelics.
What else we have coming up?
Wait, no. Okay, so I have a challenge for you.
Well, what's the challenge?
I want us to develop a cocktail because we want to do one that's like super peppery spicy. Mm-hmm. I want us to also do one that's my favorite kind of spicy, which is wasabi spicy. A horseradishy spice. Something that it sets your sinuses electric.
I'm working on it already.
All right. Because, like, listen, you can make a hot margarita. You can make a habanero margarita. You can do, like, all these things that are like, oh, it's a spicy mezcal. It's smoky. It's spicy. It's going to give me heartburn. At the end of the day, I'm going to get heartburn from the alcohol. I'm going to get heartburn from the extra capsaicin. That's just how it's going to be. But you know what I don't get heartburn from? Fucking horseradish and mustards and wasabi. It's all in that top part of the sinus. I want to make a cocktail that does that. I want to figure that out. I just got a weird deja vu. I feel like, have we done, not that, but have I pleaded with you to make a wasabi cocktail before?
You know, you could have. I'm really thinking about it because it sounds horrific, actually, because the reason that people don't make them is because that feeling, right, is not the same.
It's,
you cannot, like, how are you going to sustain it? Now, I'm not, again, it's about balance, right?
It's about,
you know, but like, really, such a small amount is literally is so fucking ridiculous that people will literally be sipping the drink like this. Can be honest. Actually, I kind of want to do that. I kind of love that. No, because people are gonna be throwing up in our fucking bar.
We should figure out how to put a Reuben sandwich into a cocktail.
Just like the whole, it's like an everlasting gobstopper. We'll just fucking take it. We'll smush it down into a little tiny ball. We'll fucking take the little ball, okay, and we will fucking put it in like a. Like a tea leaf thing, you know, and we'll make the cocktail over it, and then after you're done with the cocktail,
wait, and then you got a
sandwich.
Oh yeah, and then you got to blend it
because it rehydrates.
I was thinking you take an entire Reuben sandwich, you put it in a blender, you fill it, you do your vodka and stuff in it, and then you seen all these clarified cocktails out on the internets now. And then they're like, oh, then you just pour a bunch of milk over it, put some lemon or some shit in the milk. It separates, it curdles, then you strain it out, and boom, you got a clarified cocktail. It's like, what the fuck is that? So I want to try this. We're going to figure out a vegan clarified cocktail.
This sounds so... This fucking Reuben idea sounds...
We're not going to do it with the Reuben.
No,
we're not gonna,
but you just said it, and like now I'm just like seeing it. It's like I'm envisioning it. You know, I barely like a Reuben because those Reubens have like a Russian dressing on them.
Yeah, they do.
And I really don't like it. I like the whole sandwich.
Is rye bread.
Yep, which I love.
Pastrami and or corned beef. Or, I mean, I guess if you're in a sticky wicket, you know, a little bit of roast beef. It doesn't have to be corned. But then you got sauerkraut. Then you got pickles. You got to have pickles. If they're not on the sandwich, they got to be on the
side. I like it with mustard. I don't...
Oh, of course. You gotta have deli mustard and...
But I don't like the...
You don't like Russian dressing?
No, I don't like Russian dressing.
What about if it were Kievan dressing?
No.
Okay. Is it too red for you?
It's It's not red enough.
Ooh. Is
that red enough?
This guy fucking bullshit racks.
Because literally, isn't Russian dressing just like Thousand Island with something else in it?
Probably.
It's like fucking gross. It's like weird. It's like pink.
Hey, it's some things are pretty in pink.
Gross. Anyway.
So yeah, clarified cocktails. That's another thing that you should look out for on the horizon. Should we start wrapping up? Is it about that time? All right. This was our Sazerac, because it wasn't a traditional Sazerac. It was more fun. This has been Was That in Good Taste?
I love doing these. This is so great. Woo! Just wanted to say that.
These have been really fun.
Yeah.
We should make like a little book or something about all these fun little cocktails. Ding. It'll be the Behind the Bar book. The book is for the Behind the Bars.
Oh shit, you're Chandler.
I've been Chandler Phillips. Remember to like, follow, subscribe. Follow me on Chandler Does Jokes on Instagram and the Bumble Bear Comedy.
It's down there. It's down there.
And then I'm
James Beery, and peace. Listen, I had a lot of this. Leave me alone. I did it backwards.